Hi and welcome to Radio EduTalk. This is David Noble and I'm delighted to be back in my home city of Glasgow this evening for this special edition of the show. And delighted to just welcome on to EduTalk Nicola Carse from the University of Strathclyde. And can you just explain what this evening's event is all about and the particular course within the university that it relates to?
Yes, David. So, my name is Nicola Carse, as David said. I'm a lecturer here at the University of Strathclyde and I teach on the Supporting Teacher Learning Postgraduate course. That's a course that's available to to teachers as professional development. It runs over three... It's a postgraduate certificate that has three modules. So, the second module, which I am responsible for, is culminating tonight, and we're having a poster session as part of that. The subject of the second module is looking at contemporary contexts for teacher learning and teachers' work. So we look at a range of issues, both from an international perspective, a UK perspective, and from a Scottish perspective. So from an international perspective, we look at the influence of globalisation, neoliberalism on education, and then we look at the different education systems across the UK and compare that with Scotland. And then within Scotland, we've looked at particularly issues impacting on teachers' learning and teachers' work around professional development, a master's level profession, and then we've looked at curriculum for excellence as well. As part of the course, at the beginning, the teachers are asked to decide on an issue that they're interested in, and then they've been asked to research that issue, and they look at it from an international perspective, from a Scottish perspective, and then look at how that issue impacts on supporting teacher learning and also on their own work. So that we have a range of issues that teachers have looked into, and the course culminates with them creating a poster about that issue, which summarises the areas that I've spoken about, and they also have an assignment to do that expands on their poster. But tonight they can get useful feedback on the poster that they can then use to inform the assignments that they're working on. Mm-hmm. So formative assessment at work, if you like.
We're in the Lord Hope building, which is the first time I've been here, and it just seems a fantastic space for teachers to share their research and their academic work, and also to continue the dialogue.
Yes, it's worked. This is our second cohort. So the first cohort had their poster session in at Christmas time, and we had that up on the second floor in a large classroom space, and we had the poster set out, and it worked really well, and we had a lot of staff and various people come along to the event, but it was perhaps a little bit small, so we decided to open it out wider and have it on the ground floor this evening in the cafe area, and it's been really good for generating discussion. Lots of interesting discussion, lots of questions, and it's good to see everybody engaging in such vibrant discussion around education, so it's good.
And just finally, in relation to this actual module two of the certificate, it seems to be born of the whole Donaldson agenda.
Yes, the supporting teacher learning course came through from the Donaldson agenda. Donaldson talks about all teachers being teacher educators, and that's a complex process that we're, as teachers, we think of ourselves probably first as teachers of children, but actually thinking ourselves as teachers, as teacher educators as well. So the supporting teacher learning course came about through that, to address that and to look at what does it mean to be a teacher educator, and to support teachers with knowledge and skills and understanding to become teacher educators and work as teacher educators. So the course runs through. So the first module looks at how teachers learn and looks at the concepts of professional development. The second course looks at the context that teachers are learning and working within. And then the third module looks at supporting learning with professional learning in the workplace. So looking at mentoring and how we support teacher learning, whether it be of colleagues who are working within the school or newly qualified teachers or student teachers. So, and we've had a positive response from the teachers that we've been working with as well.
And am I right in saying that there's another cohort before the end of the year? And how would people?
Well, we've got we're hoping to have another cohort coming through, so that will start in the next academic year. And if people are interested, if they go onto the University of Strathclyde website, and they'll get information about it there. So it's the postgraduate certificate supporting teacher learning, and there's information on the University of Strathclyde website, and that will give you all the information you need about applying for the course.
Thanks very much, Nicola. We're now going to hear from three of the students who have been presenting their posters this evening. Thanks.
My name's Laura Butler. I'm a primary school teacher in the west of Scotland. Currently, I work in a nurture group. And I had a colleague who was seconded to the university who undertook this course before me. She recommended it to me, and I took her recommendation and I went for it. And it certainly opened my eyes to how teachers are learning across Scotland and across the globe. For tonight's purpose, I took inclusion as my topic for research. The topic, the aspect of inclusion I looked at was how are teachers supported to be inclusive practitioners. And the idea for that came from listening to my own colleagues in the staff room talking about how difficult it was to meet the wide range of needs that were in front of them. And when I thought about it, I realised that actually they were all supportive of inclusion as a policy, but they perhaps maybe weren't supported in meeting their own needs to support these children in front of them. And when I started to read about it, I found that actually there was quite a lot of writing and articles in the journals about it. And what I found was that across the global context, the World Health Organization have written about it. There's a European Agency for Developing Special Needs Education. And a couple of years ago, they released a profile, if you like, of an inclusive teacher. And I think there's a big gap between that idealist inclusive teacher and what's actually happening. And part of that is down to the lack of training. Again, what I would say is a lot of that is down to the current economy and cutbacks and authorities trying to, you know, spend their money on the things that are most important to them. But I thought it was, it spoke volumes that when I was trying to read about this, I found that most of the research was based on initial teacher education and not professional development. And I did think, well, what about teachers like me who are not in initial teacher education anymore and need a little bit more support with inclusion in our classrooms? I also found that a lot of the research was about teachers' beliefs and values and not their skills and knowledge. And it sort of sent me off on a tangent thinking about, you know, how do you decipher if someone has the correct values to be a teacher? How can you possibly, you know, in the way that teachers are interviewed for programmes just now, you know, how do you know if that person has got the correct values? And I started to think about how do you teach that? There's also an issue with teacher educators. Are teacher educators qualified to tell us about inclusion or to support us with inclusion? I don't know. I'm not saying there's an answer to these questions. I'm saying these are just points to consider.
When I was looking at your poster, Laura, it was interesting that you referenced a lot of international, European, UK, Scottish policy documents and research.
Yep.
As a classroom teacher myself, that struck me as like a lot of pressure on a classroom teacher. I'm thinking, is this telling us about what we've got to do? Surely the responsibility lies with the financial people, the politicians as well, to do their bit to support?
Well, that's a difficult one. Part of that is down to the fact that the course is about global contexts. This module in particular focuses on the global context, and I did have to look at these things in order to pass. However, you're right, it does put pressure on teachers, and there's this idealistic view of a teacher as an inclusive practitioner, and I don't think that it reflects what's happening in classrooms. And my research, if you like, on this is about how do we plug that gap? How do we make teachers feel confident In particular, there's work by Florian, who she is based in Scotland and she writes in a Scottish context. And when I read her work, I felt like I was reading my own thoughts. She had written about teachers feeling that they lacked confidence in as inclusive practitioners, and she also wrote about having the resources and the capacity to meet needs. And she talked about, you know, teacher capacity and do teachers have the capacity to meet a wide range of needs, and can we ever be fully inclusive? And there was some work done in, I think it was New Zealand and Australia, and the people who wrote the papers on that, the question they asked was, how do teachers engage and empower all learners with a wide range of needs? How do teachers prepare for that? And I think the answer is so diverse that's where our issue lies. We don't know where to begin and we don't know where to end.
I mean, I'm just wondering, just a final question, and then this maybe related to my own particular area of education that I work in. I'm just wondering, when you're talking, listening to you talking there, Laura, do you think there's an argument, because inclusion is the way, that's where we were at the moment, and it is so important, and we're kind of alluding to the fact that maybe some young people's education support needs are not being met, is there an argument that almost that the main focus of our CPD as teachers should be on ensuring that those who might not be included are included, because maybe the rest of the young people that we're working with will be able to go on anyway with their studies, therefore we need to focus more on.
I think that's a very loaded question, and I think I think you're right. I think inclusion should perhaps play a key role in how teachers develop and how teachers learn. It should maybe form a big part of what we do as learners and teachers. It's so important to make sure that we're meeting the needs of all. But I think quality of teaching is really important, and it's very difficult to say how do we get from where we are now to having quality teaching that meets the needs of children with all these other needs. And I think maybe to say that the others will get on is something we need to be careful with. I don't know if we can say that our focus is on the children with additional support needs and not the others.
And very finally, if somebody asked you, what are the outcomes for you from being in this course? I know you're not at the end point as yet, but how has it influenced you? How has it changed your practice and your professionalism?
It's certainly made me more critical. More critical of resources that I'm presented with, of the CPD training that I do. I do think about it as, how does this fit what I'm doing now, and I don't take things at face value. I've got to say, I do feel quite empowered by it. I've been out of university for 9 years and I came back thinking, I don't know if I can do this. I'm now at the end of module two. I've got a third module to go, and I'm already thinking about where do I go with this next, because I'm really interested. And as I said to the course leaders tonight, I do feel they've turned me into a bit of a geek, because I enjoy reading the papers now, whereas at the beginning I was a bit frightened of them, and you know, it was quite scary to embark on master's level study, if you like. There was quite a focus on that in the first couple of classes, and it was frightening, and I think it's quite empowering to realise that actually you can do it and you can do it well. And as I say, I'm already thinking, what next after this?
Well, thank you so much for taking the time out to join us and be ready to talk, and best wishes with your future studies.
Thank you.
Yeah, so I'm Gemma Anderson. I was a primary teacher in East Renfrewshire, and I was seconded to Education Scotland to work in assessment, and I recently took up a post in September at Strathclyde as a tutor on the primary education course, and my interest in assessment really grew as a primary teacher and then on the secondment, and so that's been the focus for the poster tonight, looking at professional learning and in particular moderation as a form of professional learning. And the title of the poster is Is it a policy dream or a tangible practice?
And just before we talk about that, what attracted you to this particular course then? Did you weigh it up against other kind of longer term, deeper CPD opportunities?
So when I took the post at Strathclyde, I felt it was important that I had an understanding of how to support teacher learning in terms of research, policy and current practice. So it's not a superficial understanding, but I actually have a grasp on how to make learning meaningful for teachers and learning that will stick. And the context and the kind of situations in which that can grow and develop, and the type of person that I have to be to enable that to happen. And this is a kind of course that does look at international policy movements, their effects and their relationship to national policy development, and what that actually looks like in different contexts. And in particular, this module has been about contemporary contexts for teachers' learning. And we've looked at England, Wales, Northern Ireland, Ireland, as well as Scotland. So it's been really interesting.
When you came to this particular focus for your assessment for this module, did you draw on issues or particular aspects of your work in your previous secondment?
Yes, and you know, obviously, part of the work in assessment team of Education Scotland has been looking at enabling moderation to grow and funding that, and development officers supporting that. And currently I'm doing a master's in education and I'm looking at moderation and doing research in it. So it's aligning my different interests together so that for my own professional learning I'm kind of you know, not cutting myself too thin. You're really trying to get all your interests working together. And I think it also is important because I am supporting teachers who are going out into schools, and I'm thinking about supporting their understanding of moderation and assessment and how to be more literate in terms of current assessment practice.
So, and actually get into project itself then, what aspects of moderation did you look at? And I'm fascinated if you're talked about it in a CFE context. How did you go about drawing on international literature?
So the countries that have kind of written moderation into their assessment policy are predominantly Australia and New Zealand, and most of the international writing is coming from those countries predominantly. So they have introduced a standards-based model of assessment, which is what CFE is, from 3 to 15, where we're not using national assessments to moderate teachers' you know, programmes and teachers' assessment. We're actually trying to encourage them to come together through social moderation and make decisions about learners' progress. So I've really been looking at how it's developed in those countries and what researchers have been saying about its development and how they've tried to encourage it. And also, you know, with the CFE being relatively new and moderation in particular, because Building the Curriculum 5 was only published in 2010, it's an emergent practice, if you like, in Scottish schools.
Can you take us through other aspects of your poster then? Do you draw on good practice or kind of critical issues? Or
no, it's really just really one of the main writers is Val Klinowski, I think that's how you pronounce her name, from Australia, and one of the things that she writes about is moderation. Is it a form of accountability or is it a form of professional learning, and can it be both? And that's the central tension, because if you don't have testing as a form of external moderation in terms of what teachers are doing, then social moderation functions as that, a form of accountability, if you like. But can it be also professional learning? You know, do teachers go in and have discussions which result in someone saying, oh, I didn't realise that that's what I should be looking at, or I could do it that way, or I can actually put in place a programme that's going to alter the outcome for that learner? Are they working as those valuable opportunities for professional learning? And if it is, how is that happening? And if it's not, what could we do to try and encourage it to work in that way, if that is how we want it to work?
And do you reach any conclusions, or do you just kind of pick up on, you know, particular aspects that we need to focus on in kind of ongoing dialogue?
I think the most recent research has been done by Louise Hayward, leading a team of researchers who produced the assessment of transition report in 2012, and also a research done by Reid in 2007. I looked at moderation of writing, and both of them point to moderation being a rich professional learning opportunity. However, whether that is consistently happening has not yet been really explored, and I think it has the potential to be. However, teachers have to be much maybe more clear about how they're moderating, what they're moderating, and the kind of criteria for moderation meetings and for the kind of judgments they're making about learners' work. And that was certainly one of the main findings for the Hayward report in 2012, that teachers need to have a clear understanding about the standard in which they're making decisions and the criteria for those decisions. And my research that I'm doing for the Masters is a case study approach, where I'm wanting to look at the contextual elements that can enable moderation to work or not.
I mean, just finally, Jim, then you're talking about this kind of leads into your Masters research, but is this a particular area that is a specialism for you, kind of longer term, or are you hoping to really effect a kind of positive change across aspects of Scottish education?
I think anyone who's involved in education that doesn't want to make a positive difference would be a bit crazy. I think everybody should be. And I think those differences can be made on different levels. I suppose anyone undertaking master's level study wants to add something to the conversation that's happening at a policy or a research level. And I think because I've worked within CFE as a teacher and also a development officer and now working with students, that's beneficial, because what I would like to do with the master's research is to make a contribution at policy research level, but also for something practical to come out of it, and that the people that I'm working with in terms of the research, we can reflect back on the research findings and think of how we can develop professionally. And that's where this course will then feed into that, because I've got an understanding of how to support teacher learning in a meaningful way, and I think the participants being involved in the research will enable it to be kind of them to have more ownership of it, as opposed to me just parachuting in and taking some findings and using it in a way that is not beneficial for them.
Thank you so much for taking time out from this evening's event.
Right, well, I'm a primary school teacher. My name's Sandra Maud, and I work in inner city school, Garnet Bank Primary, in the centre of Glasgow.
How did you come to be on this particular course, and what have been your motivation?
Well, initially, my school was part of the Glasgow West Education Initiative, which is a new pilot scheme introducing a different way of doing the student PGD or PGC course. And I just found it really interesting, the new way of doing learning rounds and so on, and just wanted to find out a bit more about that. And I googled, and up came this course, so I just went for it and decided I would do it.
And this particular module two then, how was it for you in terms of the actual course itself, and then where did you get the idea for your actual focus of study, which has led to your poster this evening?
Well, it wasn't what I was expecting, because a lot of it was political. It was about neoliberalism and globalisation, but it gave me a perspective that I just hadn't had before, quite simply hadn't really thought about, and it certainly wasn't something I thought was going to be part of this course, but it was still something that was very interesting, so I've enjoyed it from that point of view. My poster's about primary science, which is a passion of mine. I had done a postgrad primary science a few years ago now, and I've been developing my science skills and trying to develop science skills in my own school. So my poster really had to be about science, because you have to do things that you're really interested in, or else it just doesn't work. So that's really why my poster's all about primary science, and also just thinking about the issues that have been around for years in teaching primary science. It's been a big problem in terms of teachers not feeling confident in teaching science, and that problem's been around for decades. It's not really been dealt with, so it's interesting to see what new initiatives are going on just now to try and improve this particular situation.
So can you say a bit about some of maybe the interesting writers in this particular area? I mean, is it just as straightforward as saying, you know, science is really difficult and primary teachers don't have a science background, therefore it's going to be hard and they need lots of support, or is it more complex?
Well, I think the first writer that I looked at was Harlan, which is over 20 years ago. Harlan wrote about this issue of lack of confidence in primary teaching, and it's been revisited last decade by a writer called Murphy, who's in Northern Ireland. So it's now looking at this decade and what's happening now, and it's more looking at papers that are out there, government papers. There's a organisation called STEMAC, and they produced a SEAG report, which is a key report in terms of recommendations that are being made, not just for primary science, but what's called STEM education in general. It's looking at science, technology, engineering and maths. So it's initiatives that are out there for that whole group of subjects, but obviously I'm looking at science in particular, and there's been quite an interesting response from the government to all of the SEAG proposals, and a massive part of that is to do with an organisation called CERC in Dunfermline, who offer really high quality CPD in science, and one of the main issues over the decades has been how do you get high quality good practice effectively disseminated, and this is really the whole CERC project, which has got a massive amount of funding ring-fenced for it, is really looking at how to develop that.
Can you say about what other effective support there is, or maybe talk a bit more about CERC? I mean, my most recent kind of reading, I think, of the education press, was where they were talking about CERC using online tools, for example,
There is a lot of multimedia stuff. There's a lot of stuff on GLOW. There's a lot of stuff on, if you work in Glasgow, there's stuff on Glasgow Online. But I think the thing is that the actual SEAG report said this, any multimedia resources should really, they're a support. They're not the key thing. If you're not sure how to teach science, then just going and looking at something online is maybe not, it's not the best starting place. I think that's fine if you're a little bit more confident in it, but if you're a teacher who genuinely lacks confidence in teaching science, are you going to go straight to a multimedia resource and just start using that? Chances are that might not be the best support or help for you. So,
And so within your particular studies here then, have you made recommendations based on your reading and your experience and such like, or have you identified areas that need to be looked in further, or particular problems which are stubborn?
Well, I think one of the issues, I mean, the CERC model is really good, but the issue is the wider it's disseminated, how can you keep the quality? Mm. And that's something obviously CERC will have looked at and will be developing. I think the other aspect of it is that having done the postgrad primary course, I understand from an academic point of view why it is certain things are done in a particular way. So in many ways you're getting the how-to, but you need the why as well. And if teachers are going and mentoring through these cluster programmes, then they maybe need a kind of academic understanding as well as the practical knowledge that they're getting. And from speaking to the lecturers tonight, I understood that there is now a partnership with CERC perhaps this coming academic year, there is possibility for an academic support for the mentors within the programme. So that's a really positive thing for that.
And just finally, Sandra, you're looking at the kind of course as a whole then, is this supporting you to work with the new teachers within your particular cluster of the student teachers, or is it having an impact in other ways?
I think for me it's other ways, because in my school just now I'm not supporting the student teachers or probationer teachers, but what I am doing is I'm trying to implement curricular change in my own school in primary science, and having done that a couple of years ago and been a bit dissatisfied in the way that it went, and I'm going to be revisiting it again this year, I feel I'm more aware and more able in terms of understanding what might be more effective in helping other teachers to use the new, to call it the new curriculum, it's not new anymore, but to think about the science inquiry methods and developing skill sets.
Okay. That's fantastic. Thanks.
Thank you.
Thanks a lot for coming up here.